equal to all the pleasures which are in the world now.
Yeah, that's what Urbanus says. Urbanus says if you took, he says if you took all the material pleasures that exist in this world from the time of creation until now, for every single individual, and you put them all together, and you gave them in one package to a person, all of that pleasure wouldn't equal 1 second in the world to come. That's what he's saying.
Isn't this very similar to Pokebo?
I don't know, what does it say in Pokebo?
Huh?
What does it say in Pokebo?
It's very, very similar in terms of like the Heshbon of pleasure. And
he says way up, pleasure against.
Huh?
The bit I remember, I don't know at all, the bit I remember says way up the sin against the reward and the
I couldn't understand the second is the opposite.
I mean in terms of the way he's written it, but that's what he meant.
Yeah.
Where is it?
The second paragraph.
Right.
I need a Refreshlema.
This doesn't equal that. You need a Refreshlema?
For
Fiji. No, we don't do cats. Okay, can I start?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, cool. Yes,
I
okay.
How are you?
Huh?
I
thought
you were how are you?
Very good. Tov, we're in Masechet Sanhedrin. We're in Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, at the bottom of the page. We're looking at evidence. Witnesses, evidence, what's accepted, what's not. When do I believe a witness? When do I not believe a witness?
And so you're, 31A?
31A. What happens if someone says they haven't got any witnesses and they haven't got any proof, and then later on they find that they do have proof? Right? I'm just going to put this up because we're going to refer to it in a minute. But the Mishnah said, Tanakama Rabbanan against Rashbag. Thirty days to bring proof. Unlimited time. Right, that was the first half of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if the court says you've got 30 days to bring proof and you bring it outside that time, it's no good. Rashbag said, what are the first thing going to do if he finds out later that you have proof after 30 days? So Rashbag doesn't hold that. We said the halakha by Rashbag in that respect. The second part was, if you're told to bring... No. If he said... It doesn't happen. Right, that was part one. Part two was Anik A Rush Bag. If said no witnesses or proof, so then not believed. Not believed if he has later. Rush Bag said yes, believe. Right, we saw that the halakha followed Rashbag here, but the Tanakama here.
Didn't they give the example of a child who is the inheritor of the father's estate?
Yes.
The child does not know the business of the father.
Unless, so although we said here, if he said he had no proof, he's not believed. Unless we saw that there was a good reason to believe him. Unless we saw that, for example, he was like a child and he didn't know. But if he had the possibility of knowing, then we don't believe him when he later said, And he found it later. Okay, so in the Gemara at the bottom of the page, let's have a look how he eat it out. We're going back to the woman. 1, 2, 3, 4. Four lines up from the bottom, middle of the line. Ahi itata. So is this woman? Ahi itata. Denafak shara mitoti yada. There was a woman who came out from her hand, a shtara, a note. What was a shtara? So the shtara here, the shtar, here was a record of a debt. Wasn't a loan itself, it was some record of the debt. It wasn't actually the loan document we're going to see later on, but it was a note of the indebtedness. What happened? So we had a debtor and a creditor, D and C, debtor and a creditor, right? And the credit, let's put it, debtor. He's owed the debt. So, let's forget those words because they're confusing in English. You've got a borrower and a lender. Borrower and a lender. Right? The lender lends him money. Right? Now, there's a woman. We call her W, and they give her a shtar. Right? The shtar of indebtedness. Right? That she's holding in her hand. Now, what does this shtar say? The shtar says that B owes L $100. Right? That's what the shtar says. B owes L $100. The borrower owes the lender $100. The seder. And it emerged in a trial. This note.
The question is, why does she have the shtar?
So Rashi says, "Danafak shtara mitote yada." Rashi answers that question. He says, "Sheher minua halove ve'amalve l'shomro," that the love, the lender and the borrower gave it to her to look after it. Right? Third party custody agent, whatever you want to call it. Right? She's holding the shtar. See that? That's the shtar.
So if the loan was repaid, wouldn't they go to her before the loan was repaid or after and say that the loan's been repaid, give us the star?
Yeah, they should do.
Right.
Because she's still got to record it. So what's happened? So the borrower, the lender goes to court and says, he hasn't paid me back. And this woman appears with the note. Now, what does the woman say? The woman says like this, Amrelay, she says to the court, Yadana Bahai Shtara, I know that this note, Defria Hava, it has been paid off. I know it's been paid off. What happens? Rav Nachman believed her. So we've got a lot of the questions here. Why did he believe her? For a start, women aren't witnesses. And even if women are witnesses, there's only one of them.
Exactly.
Why does he believe her? So, what do you think? Why does he believe it? Saying, what are you doing in court? You're a woman, you're a witness, and you're only by yourself.
What about Miko? Or,
Yofi. Very good. Mm-hmm. Migo.
Migo. I'm mispronouncing it.
Migo. What do we say Migo was? Roughly. Something like.
If you have a better position, why are you coming in?
Right. We believe you because.
You could have had a better position.
You could have said something better.
Right.
So what could she have said better?
She could have destroyed the note.
She could have destroyed the note. Or she could just claim the note for herself.
Right.
instead of saying the note's been paid off, we're going to see what is this note. This note is it's like a modern language called a promissory note. It's the note of repayment. It's the note of the debt. So whoever's holding the note can claim the debt back. It's like it's a shtar. You can sell the debt. If I lend you $100 and I give you a note of indebtedness proving that I need to pay you back. No, the other way around, right? You lend me $100, right? And I give you a note that says I owe you $100. It's really a bearer document, right? It's called a bearer bond, a bearer document, right? Whoever holds the note can collect. It says I owe, basically says I owe the bearer this money, like it says on the dollar bill, I owe the bearer this money $100. So when I give you that, that's the note that you've got proof that I owe you the money. You can give that to someone else and they can go and collect. Right? You can sell that note instead of for $100. You usually sell it less than face value because you don't know you're going to get it. Right? So you sell it for $95, you sell it for $90, whatever, for someone else. So this is now has transferable value. So she's now holding it. So the fact that she says it's been paid off, she could have claimed, she could have claimed it for herself. Or, like Rabbi Yaakov says, she could have burned it. If she burned it, it would still be the same, but it doesn't exist. Why hold on to it? She says it's been paid off, it's worthless. This, I have it, it's a note of indebtedness.
Does it have names on it?
Does it have names on
it?
It depends what it is. If it's the loan document itself, it would just be the two named parties. But if it's a bearer, if it's a debt document that you can transfer, because you sometimes do it to allow you to transfer.
So that's what this is, we're saying?
Yeah, that's what this is. So this is allows whoever holds it to come and claim it. So because of that, that's her ego. So the court believes when she says, this paper is worthless. It's been paid off. I know this has been paid off.
Why would we have given it to her?
So Rashi says that they both gave it to her, they put it into her possession to look after.
She could have gotten the $100.
She could have caught it herself.
Or handed it to someone else.
Right, right.
What they should have done was, when it was paid off, they should have gotten the loan document back and had said paid in full.
A receipt would have done it.
Right.
If you would have got a receipt, then we wouldn't have to argue. Because if you get a receipt when you pay the money off, you just show the receipt. And then everything's good. But he didn't have a receipt. So he just had the existing loan documentation that was still alive. So how do I know? What do I do with that? So we believe her to say that this document is not good. Right? So they reject the note. It doesn't necessarily mean we believe the claim, but we reject the note. Amar le Rava le Rav Nachman. Now, based on on that idea, Rava says to Rav Nachman, Kama'an, who does that go like, that ruling? What we just said, that we believe that she has amigo. How come? Karebi. Does that mean we go like Rebbe? The Amar, who said, Otiot niknot b'masira. He says the letters are transferred b'masira. This is what we were mentioning at the end of last week. The kinyan, the transfer of this document, can take place by masira. If I hand it to you, you now own the document. So what's the alternative? There's two positions. Why do you say the otiot, the letters? Are the letters acquired? Because there's two options. Either the letters acquired or just the paper itself. What does it mean? It means the two options are, if I give you this, say here, it's yours, take it. So what have you acquired? Did you just acquire a nice piece of paper with some scribbles on it? Or did you actually acquire the transaction that's stated in the document? So there's two views. One says no, you can't acquire a transaction by Masira, but you can acquire a piece of paper. So when you're handed over a shtar, you didn't actually get what's written in the shtar, you just got the paper. Or did you get the oshiot? You got the letters. You got what was written on it. So Rebbe says, when you're handed the document, you get what's written in it. You acquire that, not just a piece of paper. But the opposing view to Rebbe is, no, when you get this, by Mesirah, Mesirah only transfers metaltalin, movable goods. So it doesn't transfer the otiot, the letters, the wording of the document. You don't get what's inside, what this is talking about. Not by Mesirah. For that, you need a different kinyan.
What would you need?
One of the other kinyan. I guess kinyan Hagba'ah, we do on for selling chametz, for example. Which is different than just handing it over.
You give a sefer Torah to somebody.
Can you what?
You give a sefer Torah to the baker, that's
it. Yeah, but you're
handing over the only the parchment.
That's what it is. There's no transaction written in there. You don't get anything with it. Can't claim anything else. Here, once I give you this piece of paper, you can now claim everything that's written in the paper, which is separate. Now give me all your money, give me your land, wherever it was written. But the Sefer Torah, hey, it's yours. You can, you get what you get, the physical document. It's yours. You can do what you like with it. You can sit and read it all day long. You can use it for whatever you want. But you don't get anything additional. You just got the paper. Don't get any rights that are written in the paper. So, according to what we've just learned, it sounds like, the Gemara wants to say, sounds like we therefore went by Rebbe. Rebbe says you acquire the otiot in the paper. How? How does that, how does what we just learned support Rebbe's view of the transfer of the document?
Believe
to what? You're right. Believe what? Rav Nachman believed her when she said, what was the case? She came to court and said, I know this has been paid off. And we believed her that she had a amigo, but so we believed her. What, so why does that support Rebbe as opposed to the opposite view?
Because we don't believe it was written in the article.
And how does that support Rebbe?
You only handed over the paper.
What does Rebbe say?
Rebbe said only the paper.
No. Okay. Rebbe said you get the what's written on there. He says you the otiot. You get the letter.
The otiot say that you she that they owe money.
Aha, nachon.
So why do we believe the woman? She has the paper.
Right, keep going.
Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. We just work it through.
Okay. So why would we believe the woman if she says it's already been paid off? If the document itself, which we believe to be good, says it wasn't paid off. No proof in the document that it was paid off.
As opposed to what would the other side say? If we didn't follow Rebbe.
If we didn't follow Rebbe. We follow Rebbe, meaning that only the paper was good.
Yeah. Then.
Then the document wouldn't have any
value anyway. Right. Wouldn't have any value. So she doesn't. She wouldn't have amigo because it's got no value. She can't do anything with it. She can't claim anything about this document. You're right. You've got a piece of paper. You're holding a piece of paper, but you're not going not know amigo because it's got no value. But now you. According to Rebbe, who says that you do get the content when you take it, she now has that value, that content that she can now potentially claim on. But only according to Rebbe. So her amigo is good because we hold by Rebbe that she actually got the content when she was handed the document. She actually got what it says inside. The amigo is that she could have claimed something better.
Oh, that's what amigo means.
Yeah.
She could have claimed something better.
But she only gets the ability now to claim something better, we're saying, because it must be that we hold by Rebbe that she also got the content. If she didn't get the content, then she didn't have amigo, she just got a piece of paper. And one woman witness saying it's no good doesn't do anything for me. Yeah? So that's what the Gemara is saying. So Gemara is saying, can we see from this case that we hold by Rebbe as a good proof for Rebbe? Amale, he said to him, Shani ha. No, it's different over here. We can't say necessarily that we hold by Rebbe. Because we've got a different case here. Why? De'i baya kalte, because if she wanted, she could have burnt it. You're right. In order to make the claim that she could have taken the money for herself, we need to hold by Rebbe to go with that Migo. But we don't need Rebbe. We don't need Rebbe's opinion in order to burn the document. If she would have burned the document, she would still have had Amigo, but based on the other way. Not that she'd be claiming it for herself. She could have just burnt it. If she said that this has been paid off, why is she presenting it in court and saying, here's a note confirming A owes B, but you should know it's been paid off? She would have just burned it, and then it wouldn't have been evidence anyway. The fact that she actually showed it in court and said, here's a document saying A owes B, and I'm telling you it's no good. So we believe her, because she could have burned it. And for that, she doesn't need to acquire any rights.
But
she just has a piece, she just holds the document that shows A owes B. I'm just holding it.
Without the document, how could she give testimony?
She wouldn't. her testimony, excuse me. Her testimony is that this document is no good.
Right, but if she burned it, there'd be no document.
Huh.
And since there'd be no document, how
it would
could
be the
she,
same thing.
How could she give testimony?
She wouldn't have to.
So if there was no document, it would just be the lender versus the debtor without any documentation.
Right, so whatever other evidence there is. The question is, the case here is not whether we believe the lender or the borrower and whether he needs to pay him. The question here is, can we believe this woman with her when she walks into court with a document and says, I know this has been paid off? For her, the question is only centering around her. Do we believe her statement? Doesn't necessarily mean whether or not he wins or he loses, he pays, he doesn't pay. We're only focusing right now on, do we believe her? Her witness evidence that she walks into court. Yes, okay. We believe her because she has Amigo.
Plus the document. Because you only have one witness.
Yeah, but she's not witnessing with the document. She's just witnessing the fact that it's been paid off.
Right, that's my point.
So that she doesn't need a document for that.
But it's a single witness.
That's what we're saying. We believe her because she's got Amigo. We believe a single witness, even a woman. A woman's single witness, a chiddush on a chiddush, right? Because she's got Amigo. Even. Yeah, even a crazy Breslover one. Any.
Why would you believe her? She couldn't come in without the document. You wouldn't believe her if she didn't have the document.
Yeah, but we're only believing her to the extent that she said it. It's a fairly worthless piece of information to say, this document that I'm now producing to court is worthless. It's a little bit of a... I mean, the truth is, she was brought because of the borrower who's trying to... the lender who's trying to claim the money back says, there is a document, and we lent and we gave it to her, and subpoena her, bring her into court, and she's going to have to pull out the document. She's a truthful woman. So she's going to pull out the document. You're right, they gave me a document, and here's the document, AOB. What's she going to say? Right, she's going to lend it. But she says, by the way, you're right, I'm holding the document, they told me to hold it, but I know it's been paid off. And the lender's going, no, don't believe her. But the document, you can believe. You can't believe her. She's a one woman by herself. But the document, look, she's got the document, nachon? So he needs to pay me. But the woman's saying, no, it's been paid. And the court says, hey, you know what? You're right. We're going to ignore that document because she could have burnt it, or she could have, according to Rebbe, used it for herself. So we ignore the document. Basically, all we're doing is that we're ignoring the document. The document was brought in evidence by the lender who wants the claim, and we're ignoring this, saying no, we can't rely on that document because the woman who brought it could have destroyed it, could have used it herself, and she said it doesn't work. So we believe her testimony about what she's holding, that it's been paid off.
How could she use it herself?
Because we're saying it's a transfer. According to Rebbe, it's a transferable note. It's a promissory note. It's a bearer bond. A document that says, I hereby owe the bearer of this paper $100.
Then she would say to the lender, no, you owe me.
Yeah,
is that what she's saying?
No, she could have done it. She didn't.
Could.
Because she could have claimed that, she didn't. She's instead claiming it's worthless, it's been paid off, it's a worthless piece of paper. It has value, she could have sold it to someone else. Right? It's a transferable document. She could have gone into the shuk and said, I've got a $100 promissory note here. Who wants to give me $60 for it? Right? She could have done anything.
What was the scenario, the basic?
A lover and a malveh. And they give a woman the shtar that records the debt, and she holds it, and she comes to court and says, I have the document, but I know it's been paid off.
But she's not in the story.
She's just holding the document for them. She's not A and B, but she's just a witness that's holding the document. She says, here's the document, it says A owes B, but I know it's been paid.
What's she related to the story?
Because she's holding it. So why do we believe her when she says, I know it's been paid? She's a witness that says, I know it's been paid.
She's a duck. She's a witness.
But why do we believe her? Because she has amigo, because she could use the document herself, or she could have burned it. Okay, good.
You lend money to shekels.
Yeah?
And when a time comes for you to spend it to pay back, shekels don't exist anymore. The new shekels. Can she say that it doesn't have any value anymore?
I remember that. What, that was, what, 87?
Any transaction.
Change.
When the money changes. So you have to know from the law of the transaction what was contemplated at the time. Presumably, usually now they hold in law something called business efficacy. Right? What would have been, what would they have said if they had been asked at the time? If at the time the two parties had brought their mind to the matter, what would they have said? So if at the time, by the way, you know if the money changes, is payable also in the new currency? Oh, yeah, for sure. They would have said yes. So that's how they would deal with it now, I presume, something similar. When I was a young lawyer, many years ago, my boss that I worked for told me that, Jewish guy, not the one who I came with, a different one, different boss, told me that when he was a trainee, he was a young lawyer, he'd been given a $7 million bearer bond in a transaction to look after overnight, right? And he took it home with him. And $7 million, I mean, this is like, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago when $7 million was worth something, right? and he said that, he told me, I don't know why he told me, but he told me that he put it down on the kitchen table, and him and his wife sat there looking at it all night, deciding whether it would be worth it to take it and make a runner. And run off with it. And after several hours of discussion, they decided that what $7 million wasn't enough.
What
to like to run away?
Oh, we didn't.
With it, right? Okay, that's interesting. I don't wonder. Well, you want me to learn from this that you are trustworthy, that you're not. So anyway, so that was his. I think you probably need a lot more now. Anyway,
the cash is better.
So it's.
I mean, every single when I was working at a place, Nelson News and Gifts, I'd have to make deposits Monday morning. $40,000-$50,000 in cash.
Right.
For the weekend.
That money in the kitchen wasn't cash. It was what?
Yeah. It was exchangeable for cash. It was a $7 million note, that like a bearer. It's called a bearer bond. It's a note of indebtedness that you
Stautrop
for $7 million that you can, I don't know, you give it to someone who's got that sort of money. You might not get face value, but you get, I don't know, 6.5 probably. Anyway, Tom. Baruch Hashem, we don't have to worry about that. next, Ikata Amre. Right, so there's an alternative version of what we just learned. Ikata Amre. So that's one version of the scenario. But there's an Ikata Amre which is slightly different. There were those that say, Lahimina Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman didn't allow it. Right, remember in our story, Rav Nachman believed her. Right, and that she said, this has been paid off. So in the second version, he doesn't believe her. Amale Rava la Rav Nachman. And then Rava said to Rav Nachman, Vaha ibaya, maybe, but wait, hold, if she wanted, Kalatei, she could have burned it. Why, Rav Nachman? Don't you believe her? She has amigo, she could have burned it. Right? So it's Rava now arguing against Rav Nachman and saying she could have burnt it. So what does Rav Nachman answer? Kevan de itchazek b'veidina ibaya kalte la amrina. Since it was itchazek, it was strengthened. Whatever that means, we'll see in a second. B'veidina, in a beitin. Ibaya kalateya, that she could have burnt it, la amrina, we don't say. We don't say that she could have burnt it in the case where it's been itchazek b'veidin. What's this itchazek b'veidin? Rashi says, "Shekatuv bo," it's written in it, "Hanafak lo ilema ihi." I don't know what this means. Lafkui maaseh beitin. So what it's basically, it had written in it that it had been strengthened. It had been signed in a beitin. What does it mean? It means that they took it to a beitin to get it kind of stamped and witnessed by the Beit Din, that this is a valid note, that nobody believes that we just made it up, because they're forgeries or whatever. So if you want to make sure that it's got some weight, so you get it stamped with the Beit Din stamp on, you don't just rely on, right? So because it had that on it, we don't believe that she could have burned it. She could have used it herself, but then we don't go by Rebbe. Right here, he doesn't say she had two Migos, she could have used it herself, or she could have burnt it. Burning it was saying she couldn't have. We're not going with the. Therefore, you can maybe learn out from here that we don't have by Rebbe, because he didn't go the other way. He didn't say, but wait a minute, she could have used it herself. But he said she couldn't have burned it. If it was stamped in Beit Din, she couldn't have burned it. Now, why couldn't you have burned it if it was in Beit Din? So, according to the footnote here, where is it? So here he explains Rashi by saying that I'm not sure of this explanation. Tosfot also argue with it. The explanation he gives here is that Rashi says, I think he's saying that Rashi says this. I didn't see it myself, the Rashi, but I don't understand the Rashi. But he says that because the Beit Din gives it weight, kavod, that even if she did burn it, we wouldn't believe her. No. No, he doesn't say that. He says, even her testimony we don't believe. Because it's got the Beit Din stamp on. I don't really understand that, and I don't see it in the Rashi. But he says Tosfos understands different. He says, once its existence has been established, she's no longer believed to invalidate it on her basis that she could have earlier burned it once it's been established in Beit Din. I think what he means here is it was already established earlier in the Beit Din, not now when she brings in the Beit Din, but when it was taken to the Beit Din to be stamped, so she could no longer burn it because the Beit Din's seen. My understanding is that the Beit Din's now seen it. It now has some evidence that the Beit Din saw it. For her to burn it doesn't really help. Meaning that there was evidence of two people in the Beit Din, at least they signed it, they stamped it, there was an awareness that it exists. And therefore,
if there was awareness that they would exist, would the Beit Din make a duplicate like they do today?
Probably not, because that's not what they're saying. Because if that could have been the case, then that would have been an easier answer to put here. That the Beit Din could just make a new one if she did burn it, so burning doesn't help. But it doesn't say that. It says the fact that it existed in the Beit Din, it's not so easy. It's a Rashi Tosfos argument, so clearly it's not so understandable. It's not so obvious, because otherwise Rashi and Tosfot wouldn't be arguing about it.
Because
the fact that we don't really understand it is not...
Because it says Tosfos takes issue with this
right.
explanation.
All right.
So I'm not understanding what they're saying.
That's what I don't understand either the Rashi or the Tosfos, even as written in the footnote.
No, that's my question.
If they did, I reply to that. If they did keep a copy, then that would be an obvious thing to say. Because there's a copy, then you can't claim to burn it. It doesn't say that. It would be a nice solution. So it has to be. So Rashi takes the side. Apparently, Rashi takes the side that once it's been certified and baked in, we don't believe her anymore. And the other side is once it's been certified and baked in, she can't make the claim anymore. But as to why we don't believe her and why she can't make the claim,
if it has been certified, then earlier we said Migo.
You say she doesn't have the Migo.
Right.
Well, not on the burning side, but she would still have the Migo on the Rebbe side that she has now a document to use herself. But obviously the Gemara is not going that way, because it could have said here, but she still has the Migo to use it herself. So it seems that we don't follow Rebbe, that she acquired the document with its otiyot, with its letters.
So
maybe that's not the halacha.
Then they would have used the different kinyans, such as
otiyot, nit, kinet. Yeah. There's no footnote next to the Rebbe ruling. So obviously, it seems like we don't go by Rebbe.
Rebbe ruling?
The ruling of Rebbe that.
Him?
The halacha loka Rebbe. That you acquire what's in it with Nasira. Because otherwise, we would have the Migo on the other side. That she acquired the document, she could use it herself.
So then the only way to acquire the document would be through a Kenyan such as when you sell Pesach hummus.
I'm assuming so. I'm just saying because I haven't really learned those laws, so I don't know, but it could be. And it would be a different way. I mean, it would be definitely another way. It might be that way, might not be, but it could be that way. Okay.
Where do they cover Kenyans?
Balabasra.
Well, we need to learn that sometime.
It's a big masechet. Let's finish this little bit of the subject. Okay, so according to the second version we just learned, he said, right, we don't hold that she has a Migo. We don't hold that she could have said it was burnt because it had been established in the Beit Din. Eitmei Rabba L'Rav Nachman. On this, what we just said, the second version, there's a challenge, Rabbi challenged Rav Nachman in what he said. Why? Simpon sheyesh alav edim. If we have a receipt, simpon here is a receipt. Sheyesh alav edim, that has witnesses signed on the receipt, right, that it was paid back. Yitkayem b'chomotav, it should be established through its signatures. Six signatories, meaning that if you have a receipt with two witnesses signed on the receipt, that we hereby saw him pay the money back, and they sign it. So we need to bring those two people to court to certify that is a true receipt. Therefore, ein alav edim, if there's no witness signed on it, but you are semi tachat yedei shlish, and it comes out of the hands of a third party, right, like our case. Or she yotzeyacha chitum shtarot, or it comes out from below the signatures on the shtar, meaning that it wasn't a separate piece of paper receipt. It was the loan document itself, and on the bottom of the document they signed it on the document itself. Kasher, it is believed. It's believed if they sign the bottom of the document itself, the loan document, because the loan document itself is the piece of paper. We don't need to certify this new piece of paper because the loan document itself. Or it came out of the hand of a third party. We say it's believed. Al mashilish meheman. Therefore, we see that a third party is believed. Right, the third party has the Migo. We do believe the third party. Tiyupta de Rav Nachman, Tiyupta. So we see that we, the second version, we refuted Rav Nachman. So in the second version, we have the same conclusion. The first one concluded that we believe that she had amigo. Right? And the second version said she doesn't have amigo, but Rava challenged it, and we saw that Rava's challenge was good. So Rava's challenge amounted to the same thing. That Rava brought a case where we see that a third party is believed to produce a receipt. Which is basically the same as the first, right? The Ikata Amre is just a different version of the same law. That if a third party does produce a document, that we do believe on the basis of this MIGO.
But version. We still have the same question.
Which is?
Which is, was the document signed that it didn't paid?
Was it signed? No, even if it wasn't signed. Even if it wasn't signed. If it was just a document that she says, I know it's been paid, like our case.
Right.
That's good enough, we believe her.
But if it had been signed with witnesses, then it'd be fine.
If it had been signed with witnesses.
That it's been paid.
Even if it doesn't have witnesses. So on Kal v'chomer, if it does have been signed with witnesses.
Right,
she doesn't need the witnesses.
Kal v'chomer, if it had been signed with witnesses, it's fine.
Yeah, because if we doesn't have witnesses, then it's fine. So we don't even need to have witnesses.
Okay.